Yeah. A no-brainer deck of yeah. On this Getaway Friday, what's cracking? Welcome to the program. The show, Hey, Rex, what's up? This show is the jungle. It's coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. I am Jim Rome. It is a getaway day. Details on that momentarily. Meantime, let me give you a telephone number. Open phones in hour number one. Friday is going to be a very busy show. We've got lots to get done. This is your best opportunity. You may not get through later on. Start dialing 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing right now because, yes, I am busting out. Another two-week Rome vacation gets underway in exactly 3 hours from Mark. Yeah, I know. Damn, Rome. You get a lot of vacation. You take a lot of vacation. Man, I do. I really do. A month in the summer. How jacked up is that? I do take a lot of vacation. Do you know why I take so much vacation? Because I get so much vacation. And it starts up again. Hey, give me this, though. I did work 2 weeks in a row. Had 2 weeks off. Came back. Put in the grind. I'm talking grind life, yo. Two straight weeks. But then I will take 2 more weeks off. And the reason I do that is I get it. I've got to get it in before football season. I have to get it in before the fall. And if I don't use it, I lose it. So I want you to keep all that in mind because it's going to influence my open and it's going to influence the rest of the day. Call me right now. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. And yes, I do take your emails still. For whatever reason, we still take emails, Rome, R-O-M-E, at habitate.com. So the first hour is open. Coming up in hour number two, Tampa Bay Lightning head coach. This guy's a genius. John Cooper. Speaking of geniuses, the dude with the enormous cranium, Big Head James Kelly, coming up at 10:40. Another edition of Big Head Bets. He is getting so many people paid. So we've got a lot to cover with him. Now, today, I have to admit, getting out in front of it, I do not see eye to eye with him on every single bet. I'm not just going in and falling in line, but we'll find out. 10:40, coming up in hour number three, Charles Robinson, senior NFL writer, also in hour number three, an all-important ATP. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so since I'm going back on vacation in now 2 hours and 57 minutes, I'm going back to Wisconsin. Let's talk Wisconsin. The Bucks had their championship parade yesterday, and it had a little bit of everything. It had a double-decker bus speeding through the streets like Keanu Reeves was at the wheel. Giannis shooting free throws from a bus. A dude with an iguana, because every parade needs one of those. And it had Brandon Jennings. Hell yes. Brandon Jennings. Brandon Jennings, the OG, the godfather of Bucks in six. And let me be very clear. My man was not just at the parade. He was in the parade. There's a distinction. And my guy was perfect. I mean, sure, he has not played an NBA game in 3 years. And no, he has not started a game for the Bucks in 8 years. But he was right there yesterday. And he was partying like he was the guy who scored 50 in a closeout game.
Came back and coined the phrase Bucks in six. We saw Michael Redd a few moments ago. The crowd loves this. This is what it's all about. These players go by fast.
Michael Redd. Hell yes. Dead eye, Michael Redd. We're talking OGs, but none bigger than Brandon Jennings. He was slamming beers in the back of a pickup truck while the crowd chanted, Bucks in six, Bucks in six. I mean, what a time to be alive. And if Brandon Jennings was having himself a time, Giannis was having a transcendent time, especially when he was able to jump up onto the Jeep that was carrying his brother. As Giannis told a reporter for The Athletic, quote, it's insane. Touch my heart, end quote. See, that wasn't even a figure of speech. That was not an expression. That was more of an invitation or even a command. Let me read further from The Athletic. Quote, at this moment, Giannis puffed out his chest, grabbed my left hand, put it where I could feel his heartbeat. It was indeed racing. Quote, my heart is beating fast, bro. It's crazy. It's bleeping crazy. End quote. Man, it is too. This is a team that was counted out time and time again, and yet they just kept coming back. They kept answering the bell. Now they are your NBA champions. Or as Giannis again told The Athletic, at the end of the day, now they respect us, man. Milwaukee is on the bleeping map again. You know what I'm saying? And they got to put some respect on our team. We are a dangerous team. We are a dangerous organization. We have a great culture, and we have a winning culture, and we want to keep getting better. End of quote. I mean, bam. They are a dangerous team and a dangerous organization, and that right there is a very dangerous man. It is awesome. Now, if I wanted to, this is the time where I could play clips from other great parades, other great moments from championship parades of yesteryear. If I wanted to. In fact, I do want to. Who will ever forget Dirk singing in Dallas?
We are the champions. We are the champions.
So there's a reason I'm doing this. I'm setting this up for something else. These are some of the great moments in parade history. Jason Kelce screaming in a mummer's costume.
If I don't eat breakfast, I'm pissed off. Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
Kelce, Kels, whatever they're calling themselves these days, an amazing moment. How about Corey Crawford doing his thing?
All right, Chicago! Biggest bunch of beauties in the league. F***ing work their nuts off for this trophy.
Hard to top that. Hard to top that moment. Kawhi gave it a shot when he busted out his laugh in Toronto. Or how about my guy Will Gay dropping his version of the yeah on everybody in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh just won the Super Bowl.
I don't know, man. In context, I don't know how you do better than that.
Yeah!
I mean, you might flip it on its head and say that if you've seen one championship parade or rally, you have seen all of them. However, you have never seen one with my guy, PJ Tucker. Until you've seen that, you haven't seen a championship parade. And yesterday, we got to see a championship parade with PJ Tucker. And it was everything that I had hoped for. I didn't want to say it yesterday before the parade went down, but I had really high expectations for PJ Tucker at that parade because I've got the utmost respect for PJ Tucker everywhere. But in particular, because I know how hard this guy had to battle just to get to the NBA, and then how hard he had to battle to become the player that he is in the NBA, and then how hard he had to battle to become an NBA champion. He was part of a team that came back from 2-0 down in the finals to win it all. So there was no way that this guy was going to show up, sip a little bit of water, and say, hey, see y'all back here next year. Hell no.
Hell no.
And I want to get something else clear right now about PJ Tucker. Do not tell me this guy's been waiting his whole life for a parade. Hell no.
Hell no.
Dead wrong. He's been working his whole life for a parade, preparing his whole life for a parade. There is an enormous difference. He's been grinding for this moment, so there was no way he was going to let it slip without drinking up every last drop. And I mean that in the best way possible. This guy got so loose on the parade route, guys around the league were checking in on him. Carmelo Anthony tweeted, quote, damn. What's in your glass, PJ? He was having so much fun that according to Dario Melendez of Bally Sports, Mike Budenholzer yelled from his bus to PJ, quote, PJ, why the bleep wasn't I on your bus? You got the good stuff over there, end quote. Like, you know you're having a good time when the head coach wants to be in on your good time. This is good, right? Then you get to the rally. Then you get the big dog up on stage. Then PJ gets in front of a mic. He's got the Larry O in one hand. He's got a gigantic gold bottle of champagne about as big as the trophy in the other hand. And then he told the story of joining that team midseason.
You know, it's crazy. That's what everybody, like, when I came here, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, man, we got dogs. Like, they just say, like, we, like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs. And we going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
There you have it. If you were waiting for the moment from that parade, there it was. We got dogs. Our dogs is crazy. Alvin, run back the dogs.
We already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs. And we going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
We got dogs. Our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs. I haven't heard somebody own a crowd with dog talk like that since the Mad Dog got loose on all of Los Angeles.
Thank you to the greatest fans in the world.
Yeah!
Yeah! Yeah! Who let the dogs out? And to those who speak Spanish, les agradecemos.
Gracias, el perro, and mojarrado. If all PGA Tucker did was get up on that stage and talk about dogs, that would have been enough. It would have been way more than enough. But he just kept right on going, and you knew he was going to put that gigantic bottle to good use.
One more swig for the crowd. One more swig for the crowd.
One.
We're not showing it on CBS Sports Network, but if you've seen the video of that one more swig, it was so good. Because it wasn't one more swig for the crowd. It was one more shower for the crowd. My man took a bath in champagne right up on that stage in front of the entire world, and he earned it. He deserved it. You all deserve it, Milwaukee, because you do have dogs, and you're going to have rings. And to quote Giannis, it's crazy. Bleeping crazy. Best thing ever. And I will be there to join what's left of that party tomorrow night, my Wisconsin brethren.
Milwaukee, we dogs!
We dogs! He's right about that, too. Awesome parade. They are dogs. 1-800-636-8686. Other topics. How about Big Ten Media Days? We spent a lot of time yesterday on SEC Media Days. Big Ten Media Days are underway. And you're hearing mostly the same old stuff, except when old man Jim Harbaugh got up there, put his big foot in his big fat mouth. Man, this guy just can't help himself. If he's opening his mouth, the wrong thing is coming out. And it did, again. I'll get to that story. Now the polarizing topic of the day, the controversy, vaccines. We're going to talk vaccines, because in the NFL, you've got certain players that feel very strongly about not getting the vaccine. And if they don't get the vaccine, it could hurt them and or their team. But there are certain players in the NFL that are saying, hey, you can't make me do that. That's a personal choice. And the NFL is not making them do that, but the NFL is suggesting strongly that they should, and that if they don't, there could be consequences. I'm going to weigh in on this. I'm going to give you my take about the vaccines and whether or not the NFL is being heavy-handed or the NFL is being smart and doing the right thing. So, yes, we will get there. And the I've done my own research nation, I'm sure, will be ready to take part. Which is good. It's fine. But I'm going to give you my thoughts. Also coming up, big head bets. So what are we talking about today with this guy? There is no NFL. Incorrect. There is NFL. We will get to that. There is Major League Baseball. There is a great fister this weekend. The head has got a number of things that we can get down on. So everybody get down. Let's get paid.
Everybody get down. Do it now.
Do it now. And an important ATP coming up a little bit later on. John Cooper next hour. The head next hour. Charles Robinson in hour number three. Albie's week that was in hour number three. It is a getaway day for me. I'm not looking to bang you over the head with it. I just want you to know I'm gone for 2 weeks. So if there's something you want to say prior to my second two-week break, get up in here right now. Gail Devers, I've been trying to talk about since we did that podcast. She's live on episode 182. So I'll try and reset that too. And you know, the internet's got a lot to say about the Samsung Galaxy. As an example, Reddit user Flamo Demo says, quote, "This is the worst phone I've owned. People are always bothering me about it. I am scared just to use my phone in public, as a random somebody may just give me a stupid grin or whisper to their friends. I cannot stand the fact that I just can't relate to normal phones anymore." End quote. So are you ready for this life? Find out at Samsung.com/reserve. That's Samsung.com/reserve. And a shout out to my boy, Flamo Demo.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Quick reaction and a reset of something that happened yesterday. Rome, I think Brandon Jennings deserves to be involved in the Bucks championship parade and drink lots of beer. If anybody deserves it, he does. Regards, Brett Hull.
Glory, Gloria, 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 I think I got your number, Gloria.
Hoy. I mean, how whack and boring would these parades be if guys did not show up blasted? And if not then when? Dear Jim, so the Bucks parade had everything? Yeah, did it have F-bombs? Regards, Chase Utley.
World champion. World champion.
Like I said, if not then when? Jared in Wisconsin, quote, "How about PJ shouting me out yesterday? Safe to say I'm now officially the most famous smack-off participant." Signed, Paul's Dog.
Milwaukee, we dogs!
Wells in the 360, quote, "We got smog, man. We got smog." Signed, LA residents. Yeah, we do. We do have smog.
Got dogs, they just don't know how to be dogs. And we're going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs.
PJ, he is the ultimate dog. And I mean that in the best way possible. They do have dogs. They've got dogs. And their dogs are crazy. And we got smog. And our smog is crazy. We didn't know how to be smog. And we got smog, yo. Our smog is crazy. Stage 4 alert, yo.
Milwaukee, we dogs!
Stay indoors! We got smog! Mike D for 3, quote, "We got clogs! Our clogs is crazy!" Signed, Matt in LA.
We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs!
See, clones, that's when you're at your best. When you can turn out "we got dogs, Milwaukee" into a "we got clogs, our clogs is crazy, Matt in LA." When you can turn that into that, that's when you're at your best. That's strong.
We got dogs, you hear me?
Stucknuts in. Jungle historian and legend, Stucknuts, Stephen Houston. Quote, "Was 2 weeks enough time to get regular after your last cheese curd frenzy?" Oh, Matt's a good question. Really good question. You have to understand, too, that when we go to Wisconsin, it's not just about the cheese curd frenzy. There's a tot frenzy, a curd frenzy. 2 weeks, you barely enough time. I'm right now just about right, only to get back on the airplane. That's why I posted an Instagram story of a workout, a ride that I had on my Peloton, man. I'm trying to get right. I'm trying to get out in front of it. I'm trying to make some deposits into the bank because once I get there, I know I'm going to make several withdrawals and bad choices. As somebody said yesterday, the only question now is how fat is Rome going to be when he gets back from 2 more weeks in Wisconsin? We'll find out. All right, so something else happened yesterday that apparently has got some of you on edge, and I'm really not sure why. James in Portland called yesterday and ripped a golden ticket, the first golden ticket for the upcoming Smackoff. And by upcoming, I mean a year away. This guy got it. And for some reason, that pissed off a lot of you. I'm really not sure why. It was a no-brainer. It was a really good call. However, some of you are mad. As an example, probably this guy. Let's go to the Bay. CJ in the Bay. CJ, what's up?
Oh, my God, Jimmy. What's happening, my man? Woo! Albie, my man. Oh, my God, you're softer like sheetrock. Woo! James. Portland man, dude sounds like he needs a shower and's coming off a meth bender by blowing Kron and calling the show. Let's try a call where you do not just rehash the same Albie cracks and XR4TI observations. Dodger Jim, that Giants game last night was probably my favorite game ever. Nothing makes me happier than watching that scumbag Muncy and Jansen lose their minds. The Giants are dominating with absolute scrubs like Casale and Tachman. The Blues sure could use the Cy Young of Deviants. I went to SoCal last week, and a Dodger jersey-wearing guy was in full effect. Nothing more emasculating than wearing another man's name on your back, Dodger half champ loser fan. Admit it, Eric. You own a Dodger jersey with the name Silk Bra on the back with the number 69. But that's not why I called, pimp. So last Friday, I finally listened to the Smackoff for the first time because I was butthurt from getting the chopper. I was shook like Vlade Divac on Talk 2 going through his first live on-air earthquake. But I have a word of advice to the participants. You corny-ass dudes need to do that thing where your profile picture's from 12 years ago where you didn't put 30 pounds on in your face.
That's not a good call. No. Goodbye. Goodbye, CJ and like Frisco.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Yeah, I would imagine you did enjoy your Giants win last night. And you are right. They're playing really good ball right about now. We will get to them later in Big Head Bets. Listen, if you want to come in here, though, first of all, you're wrong about James in Portland. I'll give you a taste of that in a second. You're wrong about that, about how he only comes in and he's coming off some Kron bender and he just recites or recycles his takes on the XR4TI. He's better than that. But if you're going to come in here and try to make an analogy about how nobody was more shook than Vlade Divac live on Talk 2 during his first earthquake, get your facts straight. It was not Vlade. It was Ronnie Cicely.
So get your facts straight.
Come on, man. I've told you that story that when we had the Northridge earthquake, I want to say it was then, but maybe it wasn't. But whatever it was, we were live on TV one night. And I'm always fascinated by people. Being a Southern California native, I've grown up with earthquakes. I've spent my entire life in the state of California. I remember all the big earthquakes. Not to date myself, I go back as far as the Selmar earthquake of 71. I remember being a kid when that went down. So I've been there for all of them. When the Northridge earthquake hit, I lived in the 818. I was about 8 miles away from the epicenter. And I've never been one to trip on earthquakes. Like, there's stuff I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of earthquakes per se. I'm afraid of the big one. But, you know, it's ingrained. If it starts to shake and we're not sliding into the ocean and I'm not buried in rubble, I'm trained to understand that this is not the one. It's coming. We know it is. But once you're in it and you realize it's not the one, you realize, all right, I'm not going to die today. It's going to be fine. But I'm a Southern California native. I know what that's like. I'm fascinated by people who have never been in earthquakes and how they react. Ronnie Cicely, for instance. We are live together in studio, and there's like an aftershock. It's like a Temler. There's not, it's not a big deal at all, at all, at all. My man, all 7 feet of him, jumps up, rips his microphone off, and I'm not kidding you, dude ran, like physically ran to the door. I'm like, Ronnie, bro. He's like, hey, man, this is not cool. This is not cool. I'm afraid. I don't like this. I'm like, bro, I understand. I'm sympathetic. You have my empathy. But I'm telling you, man, I'm a 30-something guy that grew up in this town. I've seen every kind of earthquake so far. We're fine. We're good, bro. Can you come back in? Can we finish this? He's like, no, I'm telling you, I'm scared. I don't want to be here. And I'm looking at this 7-foot stud. He's like a Dadonis. He's like a Dadonis. And he's terrified.
He looks like a Dadonis.
But I'm not saying that just to single him out, because I've seen other transplants who come to town. I knew, I had a friend from Chicago once who was in an earthquake, and my man just, he freaked. I'm like, dude, this is not a big deal, man. I'm telling you. But if you've never been in one, they're scary. That said, CJ, in Frisco, you know about earthquakes. You live in Frisco. Don't misrepresent stories and keep Vlade's name out your mouth. It was Ronnie Cicely, not Vlade. Are we good? I know I am. Why y'all got to hate on James? Alvin, really quickly, here is part of the call that got James in Portland a golden ticket. And if it will make you feel any better, trust me, he's had one and he's lost it. He has one now. You really think this guy's not going to lose it like 5 times between now and next year? Probably so. But don't come at me and tell me that he does not deserve one on the strength of this.
Seriously, imagine all the female athletes sneaking in Alvy's cardboard bed, snuggling under Alvy's blankie, which of course by now is a piece of sheetrock. And can you just say Olympic erotica? And just to recap, a cardboard bed, no booze, no condoms, and no sex. Is this the Olympics or Vic and NoCal's life?
Like, I don't know, man. This dude makes me laugh. He makes me laugh. So as long as I'm still the host, as long as my name is still on the marquee, as long as I'm the one with the stack of golden ducats, I decide who gets them and who doesn't. So I gave him one yesterday, much to the chagrin of CJ and Frisco. And he's not the only one. I'm seeing what you're saying. Can you do better? Instead of hating on my decision, why don't you do better and earn your own? Think about that for a minute. Or is it just easier, because you're not good enough to get one on your own, is it easier to hate on the guy who is? My advice to you, instead of hating on that guy for getting one, earn your own, do better.
My best advice to you?
Shut up. That is my best advice to you. Shut up or get your own. Still ahead, John Cooper, top of the hour. Still ahead, the guy with the biggest head in the jungle, James Kelly. Still ahead, Charles Robinson. When we come back, my thoughts on Jim Harbaugh and Big Ten Media Days. Time for a sports update. Here is the latest on this Friday.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hit me up today. I've got a 2-week vacation starting after the program. Call now then. 1-800-636-8686. Or if you want, just wait for the ATP. The Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question there. Listen later on today. I might answer one of yours. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. John Cooper, top of the hour. James Kelly, next hour. Why do I keep saying that? It's a radio technique. You tease ahead. You let everybody know what's going to happen later on. Charles Robinson coming up in hour number 3. Some reaction to CJ. Some reaction to James in Portland getting his ducat. my reaction to Big Ten Media Days. They're underway, and while they're not dealing with quite the chaos and the changes that the Big 12 and the SEC are right now, they still had some big names to roll out on day one of the Big Ten Media Days. You have PJ Fleck. You have Scott Frost. You have James Franklin. You have Michael Loxley. You have Brett Bielema in his return to the conference. I mean, you got some serious star power there now. Oh, and Jim Harbaugh also spoke. He probably got the biggest headlines. And I know what you're thinking. The hell is the head coach of a team that went 2-4 getting the biggest headlines for? It's a great question. Another question. Does anything that is ever said at media days really matter at all? And I'm going to say not really. It's typically always about how some player is more committed than they've ever been, or some player is in the best shape of their lives, or some player lost 10 pounds of fat and gained 10 pounds of muscle, or that the underclassmen that you were excited about are actually faster than anybody thought. Or they get around to talking about World War II propaganda. Right. You heard me. Because Harbaugh was asked about his being on the hot seat, and his response was, well, this grade A bullcrap. Even for him, grade A bullcrap.
People are trying to discourage you. You know, it's almost like propaganda, like, let's discourage them. You know, almost like World War II propaganda machines, you know. Stop, quit, no need to try, you have no chance, don't even try any further. Yeah, so you just, that becomes like, no, we don't subscribe to that at all. We're trying to get to the top. We're going to die trying. We're either going to get there or die trying.
Is there anybody anywhere not named Ritt who enjoyed or appreciated or even understood that analogy? The World War II propaganda analogy.
Game on.
I mean, I'm sorry, but what? Is there anything more tired than this guy and his rap? That answer made a Jerry Jones presser seem succinct and thoughtful and wise. Suddenly, Jerry talking about kryptonite seems smart and logical. Like, how did we get to talking about World War II propaganda? And the hell does that even mean? Did he just pull that right out his ass? And if not, and he actually thought about a list of analogies that he knew that he could break out, what were the ones that he decided to turn down, if that's the one he settled on?
Stop, quit.
Yeah, I'm sure you're sick of being asked about underachieving and getting your ass handed to you every year by your rival, and whether or not this is the year, or whether or not Michigan finally does get around to admitting that bringing you in was a big mistake. Yeah, I would imagine that does get old. And I bet that you knew it was coming, and you want to make sure you had yourself a snappy little response for when it did. Yeah, well, that's not it. You being on the hot seat is a lot of things. Most of them true. What it's not is World War II propaganda. Again, whatever the hell that means. Running out that bullcrap on Media Day is worse than running out this bullcrap on Smack Off Day.
Romy, it's good to be on the Smack Off. I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to wish everybody out there a very happy holiday. And I don't really have a whole lot of smack to say today. It's a holiday and a day of peace and harmony, kind of like Fuzzy and Tiger playing in the Masters. But I want to wish everybody and their families a happy holiday, except for some of your clones who don't really have families and are behind in their child support payments, like your boy Sean in Syracuse. Tell that clone to get a life.
Roasted! Just so we're clear on this, all right? That hot seat stuff is not propaganda, much less World War II propaganda. You see, it's not coming from people that you're competing with or recruiting against. It's coming from the inside. It's coming from your own fans. It's coming from your own AD. He's the guy that just gave you an extension that was, in fact, really a pay cut. So it's not people in the media saying that they don't believe in you. It's your own AD and your own fans saying that they don't believe in you. That's not propaganda from your rivals. Those are facts from your supporters. The AD is the one who gave you that extension, which dropped you into the lower half of coaches in the Big Ten in annual base salary. And it made sense. He was right to do so. It was either that or just move on completely. So this is not some campaign of propaganda. This is a mandate of how much you have underachieved and underdelivered. Going 2-4 last season is not propaganda. Getting your doors blown off by Ohio State every year is not propaganda. It's reality. The inability to develop a quarterback, the lack of signature wins, an abundance of signature losses. I could keep going, but none of that is propaganda. That's all facts. That's reality. Of course there's a bullseye on your back, Michigan man. You're the one who put it there. You're not getting it done. None of this is propaganda. None of this is unfair. It's all about results, and you're not getting them. And they're not getting what they paid for. And of course he was asked about the challenge of Ohio State, and this is what he came up with.
They're at the top. We gotta knock them off their perch, and that's on our mind every day, you know. And also, what you're doing that day to get better today than you were yesterday, to be better tomorrow than you were today. I mean, both of those things on your mind, and then we'll be into the season and that mindset of getting good enough at football to win that championship, you know, will be the strategy of being the best in the Big Ten. That's where we're coming from.
You know, like, I would call that a word salad, but that would be an insult to salads across the world. At least salads are contained in a bowl or a plate. Nobody dumps a bunch of lettuce and tomatoes on a table and then pours dressing all over it and says, hey, yo, there's your salad.
That's where we're coming from.
You want that on the side of the table or on the table? And that's pretty much what the answer was. That sounded like a dude who had not done his homework. That sounded like a dude who was called on by the teacher, had no idea what he was talking about, and just started puking up bullcrap and gibberish. And by the way, how is that possible? How do you not know you're going to be asked about Ohio State? How do you not prepare to have a good, tight, succinct answer for that? No, instead, his best answer was when he was asked about the hot dog eating championships. That one felt like he prepared for it. He attacked that question with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
I don't know. If you were a hot dog eating champion of the world, ate the most hot dogs in 10 minutes, I mean, would you consider it a sport? I would. I would probably feel pretty good about myself if I could do that.
Yeah, I'm sure Michigan fan was really fired up to hear their guy that locked in and that fired up on competitive eating. My guess, though, they'd rather that he be more locked in and they'd rather hear about his plan for beating the Buckeyes instead of his love of Joey Chestnut. Yeah, but don't worry. He does have a plan for that.
Well, I'm here before you. I mean, I'm as enthusiastic and excited as I ever am, always am. Even more, to have at it, to win the championship, to win the beat Ohio, your hometown there, our rivals, Michigan State, everybody, that's what we want to do. And we're going to do it or die trying, you know?
So let me repeat the last part of that with context, because I'm pretty sure what he just said was we are going to beat Ohio. Or Ohio State, or Ohio U, or whoever those guys are that keep kicking the hell out of us every single year. We're going to beat them or die trying. Remember back in the day when he would say crap like that, rip off his shirt, smash a steak, chase it with a glass of milk, and Michigan fan would just lose their bleep? Remember that day? Neither do I. Remember the last time he won a big game? Neither do I. Remember the last time he said anything and you believed it? Neither do I. You're 0-5 against Ohio State. You've lost those games by a combined 95 points. If you're going to beat them or die trying, Here's your bleeping shovel, dude. Start digging that shallow grave. Because if you get beaten by them again, if they do you again this year, that's exactly where you're going to be. So stop coming with your nonsensical analogies. In fact, stop talking, period, and win a game that matters. Because this has nothing to do with World War II propaganda, whatever the hell that is. And everything to do with you getting your ass kicked by your rival every single year. And you need to own that with the most enthusiasm ever known to mankind. Everyone, including the Michigan family itself, is tired of your rap and tired of you pointing your finger and blaming everybody else. Win a freaking game that matters. Just one.
And we're going to do it.
Or just one.
You know?
And you better make it Ohio State. World War II propaganda. Is that what that is?
Almost like World War II propaganda.
Seriously, is there anybody anywhere that likes that not named Ritt? Ritt loves that stuff, man. Loves World War II analogies. Guys with horrible diets. That's like your favorite guy, right? Hey, man, what's wrong? Just mixed in a nice World War II propaganda analogy and eats meat and drinks milk. I like that guy. Takes his shirt off. When we come back, I'll change up. We'll talk some hockey. John Cooper, Tampa Bay Lightning head coach, joins us. That's next. James Kelly, Big Head Bets in hour number two.